India tsunami story to talk about. I bet. Mm-hmm. Were you there at that time?
Right before.
Okay. All right. So stay with us. Eileen Weintraub, president and founder of Help Animals India, is here along with her husband Mark Johnson, who is like the vice president, treasurer, and moral support, and all of that. They're here. They're in the studio. We're going to be talking about the animals in India for the rest of the show. So stay with us. The tsunami is next, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK FM 98.9, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Been there, done that? It's time for a change.
Hi, I'm Rob Spears.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we're the hosts of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference.
If you're ready to engage life, expand consciousness, and ride the wave rather than be bowled over by the incredible changes that are upon us, then join us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW 1150 a.m. or 98.9 HD3 or ConsciousTalk.net, where together we'll forge the new human being.
Pam and Rochelle are Chat with Women.
Remember who you're talking to, Mike.
Hello.
Chat with Women.
Listen to Chat with Women to be informed, motivated, inspired.
Don't listen to people who tell you it's never been done before. If I had looked at the SWAT team, it was an all-male team, and thought, you know what, if I'd done that, I wouldn't have had the incredible experiences.
Take 1 hour out of your day to learn and grow and change your life.
You're living in that virtual world too much.
That's right.
Come on out with us and play.
Every weekday morning at 8, Chat with Women on 1150 KKNW.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Now wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. Best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Now, if you need to be in touch with Animal World while we are on the air, there's several ways to do it. And if you have just joined us, we are talking about Help Animals India today, and Eileen Weintraub and her husband Mark Johnson are here. And in case I'm not asking the right questions, they're not telling us what you need to know, we are going to be focusing on this subject for the rest of the show. But if you have a specific question or concern or something that you want to know about from Eileen and Mark, by all means, give us a call. Scotty is here on the phones, and he can take your call and let us know if there's something that you'd like to ask about. We can put you on the air with Eileen and Mark, or you can tell Scotty what's on your mind, and he can let us know. And I'm going to give you phone numbers, so write them down. Our local number is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5527. 1-888-298-5569. Remember the 1-888-298-5569. And anytime while we are on the air, you can send us an email. So if there's something you'd like to say, something you'd like to ask, you can send an email to our animalworldlive@hotmail.com. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. And be sure and send it in early enough in the show that Gary has time to see it and get it to us. So animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Now, you can be in touch with Animal World when we're off the air by going to the Animal World website. That is www.marthanorwalk.com. Just like it sounds, Martha Norwalk, N-O-R-W-A-L-K.com. Lots of good stuff on the website for you. Homepage tells you what's coming up on the next show. Links to all of our advertisers and sponsors flash on the homepage. There's a link to the audio archives. All of our shows are archived, and you can listen to after the fact. So if you are fascinated by Eileen and Mark's story and the Help Animals India, or you want to share this show with someone else or listen again, usually by the end of Sunday, certainly by Monday, the archive show is up on the website. You click on that animal archive link, and you can listen to the show there. You can click on current events to get current events, and there's also a shelter link, which you'll find contact information for all shelters, rescues, sanctuaries, and we do have a contact for Help Animals India up on that part of the website now as well. Now, you can email me if you want to through the website, click the Contact Martha link, or address your own email program to Martha Light, L-I-G-H-T, at AOL.com. And if you need my services as an animal behavior therapist and trainer, I'd be happy to help you. I work with people privately in their home or over the phone to help them understand animals, solve the problems that you're having. And I always do a free telephone evaluation. So if you've got something going on with your animal friends, you can call me. And if I'm not the best person to help you, I certainly probably know who is. Sometimes that can even solve your problem for free in a couple minutes on the phone. Or we'll set up an appointment for me to work with you. And you can reach me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling. The phone number is 360-217-7258. And if you don't hear right back from me, be sure and bug my voicemail. That's 360-217-7258. Now, if you're submitting a current events item, please do so via email. Easier for me to get to the webmaster that way. But if you need to mail something like Ed does to Animal World, the Animal World mailing address is 19916 Old Owen Road, 19916 Old Owen Road, number 251, Monroe, Washington, 98272. And remember that I write a regular column for the New Spirit Journal about animals. It comes out once a month. And you can get it for free at a lot of locations around the Pacific Northwest here. You can sign up for a subscription to be sent to your home, or you can read it for free online at www.newspiritjournal.com. Excuse me. All right. Now, if you are interested in Help Animals India, your website, Eileen, is helpanimalsindia.com?
Yeah, or .org.
Helpanimalsindia.org. And then you also are on Facebook. You talked about great stuff there. And I wrote down, see if I wrote it down right, www.facebook.com/helpanimalsindia.
Yeah, the best way is just go to the Help Animals India website, and there's a link to the
Facebook page.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. So founder and president of Help Animals India, Eileen Weintraub, is here with her husband, Mark Johnson, who does all kinds of stuff for Help Animals India and moral support and all that good stuff. And we are listening to their story as to how we're sort of getting the background of what compelled Eileen to put together this organization. And we left her in India.
Okay. Well, before I go further, I just want to say, Martha, we have to get you over to India to do some consultations.
Ah, that went well.
So put that on your schedule, as
that
I say it
there. Oh, you know, and before we get into this, we had a listener call in because we kind of scrapped animals in the news today. Mm-hmm. You guys had a great animal story about the cat and the microchip, but another listener called in to say that there was a cool animal story this morning on Como News. And since it's out of the country, this is kind of, it was somewhere in Japan, and it shows 13 dogs at one time jumping rope in perfect sync. So somebody's training dogs in Japan to jump rope.
Somebody's training dogs.
Yeah, 13 people can't usually jump rope at one time, so I bet that's something to say. And apparently they said they think the video's on YouTube. So if you go to YouTube and search dog, you know, jumping rope dogs, it'll probably come up for you.
Japan is pet crazy.
Yeah.
But they also have a huge animal welfare problem because people want the breed pets there, too.
Wow. So, All right. So that's our news story from a listener. Thank you very much. And now, so like you said, we left you in India.
Okay.
So let's pick up where we left off. And we said we were sort of headed towards tsunami stories.
Okay. But, well, before I get into that, I just wanted to read something from the website.
Yeah. No, this is from the Help Animals India website.
Yeah. Okay. And India has Article 51 of the Indian Constitution says it shall be the duty of every citizen to have compassion for all living creatures. So here is a country, India, that you can really help because the laws are already existing there. And people,
so that's actually actually a law that you have to have compassion for animals.
Yeah, but,
right, in the Constitution.
Well, they also say you have to have compassion for women and children, too, but it doesn't always work
just
that way.
Just because it's on paper doesn't mean that it actually happens, but at least it's there.
So there is a heritage of reverence for life in India, yet this is a country where countless animals suffer severe neglect, overpopulation, poverty, pollution, superstition, and there is a lot of superstition towards cats.
Really?
Apathy and ignorance all contribute to their plight. In a country where human misery and impoverishment remain high, the welfare of destitute animals is a low priority.
Now, when you talk superstition, you mean like a black cat walking across your path brings bad luck, sort of that kind of superstition?
Not black cats. They just don't like cats in general.
Cats, huh?
Hindus don't like cats. Muslims don't like dogs. And India is a country of Hindus, Muslims, and Christians.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, fooey.
So
I think, I think the guiding light of Help Animals India is to bring out that compassionate care for animals and to help create a compassionate society so that the animals do not receive so much abuse or neglect.
Well, so the animals become visible. This is a culture where people are used to stepping out of their front door and stepping over homeless beggars. I'll use the word beggars. We use the word homeless in this country, but these are beggars who've lived on the street for generations. So how much more are they going to care about the abandoned puppy or cat? They're invisible to them.
So there's just so much work that needs to be done.
And
over there.
But you know, one of the activists in India, a lawyer, just said, "Well, you know, the only difference with our country and your country is everything here is visible out on the street. In your country, the abuse is behind the closed doors.
Amen.
And hidden.
Yeah.
So
that is really true.
Yeah. So so everyone said, oh, there's an animal about to be slaughtered for meat. India, just everything is more vibrant. I saw funerals, out on the street, people carrying corpses. How often do you see that here? So life and death is just
everything is out there.
Coming at you.
Yeah.
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 So anyhow, getting back to 2003.
Well, I have to say that, it would be, I'm sure, a phenomenal experience to go to India sometime. But
We'll talk about that, Martha.
It would be,
that's how it happens. You hear about someone else going.
So I'm nothing if not flexible and always, creating ways to help people in situations. I don't have a belief there's only one right way to do things when it's working
we help a lot online. That's called myself reverse outsourced because I was helping here by computer. The way they help us, we can hire them for low cost. The companies do. So anyhow, getting back to 2003.
Yeah. We're back in 2003.
Okay.
Where are you now?
Well, I saw the animal shelters, not only that one, but other ones that were really difficult to see. I didn't know what the norm was. I didn't know what was acceptable. So when they showed me a bin of puppies, 50 puppies, and they said half of these are going to die overnight from distemper.
Oh, my.
And then you saw other animals that really would have been euthanized in our country already, but they believe in non-killing. So that's another subject.
Even if they're suffering.
Pretty much. The veterinarians have been changing about that, and especially Western vets who go over there. We want to see them euthanized. But anyhow, I came back with the fire of wanting to share all this knowledge and help all the groups.
Now, I remember you saying last time you were here briefly, or, you know, on the air briefly with me, you said, if I had just returned from India, Martha, I would be in tears.
Oh, yeah.
So was this was a difficult experience for you,
well,
with the animals, right?
Well, it's difficult, but I don't want to dissuade people from experiencing it, because I always looked up to other people who were able to do that. And I said, gee, I wish I could do that. I mean, it's part of life. It's just because...
Yeah. Absolutely.
We don't see it doesn't mean it's not going on. And face it, animals have been living and dying for thousands of years. There's nothing new.
Well, I think but that's why the truth is coming out now, because as we evolve as a human consciousness and the new earth energies and all of this, the whole point is we need to be opening our hearts.
Mm.
And the way that we do that is we have to see the reality of what's going on, and we have to allow ourselves to feel it. Because when that happens, then the human consciousness elevates to a point of being willing to do something.
And then and doing something is then effortless.
Yes.
You wouldn't see, you know, if a child is in the highway, the street, you just run out. You wouldn't even think about it. I mean, you do it carefully, of course.
Right, right.
So,
I was just saying, it was a painful experience for you to see what was going on with the animals. But it also motivated, look at what it motivated you to do.
Yeah, and then I knew other people who had gone through this, so that was helpful. And as I say, when I'm traveling in India, I'm always with my Indian animal activist friends.
Ah.
So, and they say, you know, they'll be the ones to run out and yell at people or say, don't do this or stop beating that animal.
Uh-huh.
Or try and get a policeman, not that they'll do anything, but or try and rescue the animal. What I found out in India was rescuing the animal from the street to the animal sanctuaries wasn't always a very good idea, because they just die at the animal sanctuaries from disease.
That's an interesting dichotomy, because you already read that it's in their constitution that they have to be compassionate to animals, but yet in the practicality of things, that really has yet to happen on a wide basis. But you're working very hard to...
Yeah, and the Indian animal activists that I know are doing phenomenal work. So I would travel with them, and they say, well, there's nothing you can do. Mm-hmm. You'd be able to accept that easier, you know? And anyhow, getting back, so I returned to India in December of 2004 with all the supplies and everything that I brought from the States, because they didn't have access. There's a company called ACES, and they have all the animal devices to humanely capture, and, you know, all these newfangled things that they, or just, and they were like, okay, now we'll make it here ourselves. Very practical people.
Excellent.
But they didn't, you know, hadn't seen the prototypes. So, and then we'd bring over cat traps, and then they'd start making them. So anyhow, that was 2004, and I left. It was 2 weeks before the tsunami, the Indian tsunami. Now we have a Japanese tsunami, but the Indian tsunami killed 220,000 people.
Wow.
And it was the first disaster. You know, now we're having disasters because of climate change all the time. But that was really a monumental
experience. I remember the Sri Lanka tsunami.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was
2004.
The tsunami.
It hit southern India.
And that's the one we're talking
about.
Yeah,
it was
an earthquake in Jakarta, like 9.5.
Right.
And so it even went to the shores of Africa, India, Sri Lanka got it very bad, and up the coast, the east coast of India. After the tsunami, in Sri Lanka, the Tsunami Animal Alliance was formed. These are friends of mine, and so they really, really helped the dogs. So anyhow, just getting back to, so I visited a lot of areas in South India that the tsunami later hit 2 weeks later.
Wow.
And we were home in Seattle, and Mark and I were out at a South Indian vegetarian restaurant where you have to find them on the east side of Seattle where all the Indians live. The North Indian food is less vegetarian. So the South Indian food, you have foods like dosas and ildis and just a lot of variety. So we were out at a restaurant, and we'd been there many times, and we left the restaurant, and we were driving back to Seattle. I said to Mark, pull over the car. I'm not feeling well.
Oh.
And I got out of the car, and I was just doubled up in pain. I felt like I'd been kicked in the gut.
Wow.
I've never had that experience.
Wow.
I said, I'm going to have to go to the hospital. I don't know what's wrong with me. So and after a few minutes, it passed. And I said, okay, I'm better now. So we went home, and I turned on the computer because I work, mostly I work in the morning and the evening, you know, so it's their morning and evening.
Uh-huh.
So this was the day after Christmas, 2004, and the tsunami was just hitting all over India. And
so how in tune you are.
You had a very visceral response.
Yeah, we think of all, you know.
Well, that reminds me, one of the things I remember seeing or hearing about in that the tsunami is that a lot of the native animals in that area actually ran for higher ground before the tsunami came in.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so animals are more in tune intuitively and pick these things up. Well, humans can feel these things too, but most people haven't allowed themselves, their hearts to be open enough and be that sensitive mm-hmm. to feel. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you felt it.
Right. And so we got online and with all our contacts of what was going on. And all of a sudden, this part of India was under a lot of publicity and people were curious about it. They didn't know about South India. The East Coast
uh-huh.
is where the tsunami hit. Also on the West Coast, too. It's called Kerala. But, you know, it didn't go higher up because it came from the south. So I got a lot of phone calls from just as human doctors wanted to go over and help, veterinarians wanted to go over and help. But they said, where do we go? You know, you can't just show up.
Right.
So we had to connect them with the existing animal groups, and that was one of the groups that I knew of. And at the same time, we had to know people know what was going on. So I did our first email report. And I guess everybody was doing email reports, but we thought it was the first one.
Uh-huh.
I guess it was just a time had come. Now everyone's like, oh, God, you know. But back then, it was a new thing.
That was a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. And so basically, they with the new digital camera, they sent me the photos. And our first report, which is still available on the website, is called Hero Beach Dogs of India.
Ah.
And it was the dogs had barked a warning, and the people knew
they knew something was up.
Yeah.
So
right.
The dogs,
they alerted the community.
Were right. Carrying on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
So this part of India was spared from damage, and the fishing villages had to evacuate. But, you know, nobody died in this area of India. Other areas like Thailand, the elephants alerted some people. Maybe you remember that story.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of, seeing the elephants, you know, evacuate.
Right, evacuate to higher ground
yeah.
and carrying people on their back if they happen to be on the back of the elephant.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then some of the native people, they heard stories of this from their ancestors. So they knew see those kind of waves. That didn't happen in Thailand, like in Phuket. The tourists didn't know.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, the tsunami just put us on the map, the worldwide map. Everybody wanted to know what is this place? What are you doing? And so we got veterinarians coming over, and they were able to advise the shelters on better management. So how to set up a quarantine, how to stop this distemper. And started bringing over supplies to just bring better standards.
Excellent.
So that was a very exciting time.
I remember the story that's popping into my mind because I remember that I covered on the air and looking for some balance and some good news. And I can still see the photograph because it was a story about after the tsunami, and I don't know if it was in a rescue animal rescue area or what, but a photograph of a giant tortoise. And a baby hippo.
The hippo, yeah.
Yeah, that they had bonded with one another after the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah. That one was a beautiful story. Went around worldwide
many
times.
But you know, there's so much we can learn from the animals, and they are so much more in tune with spirit and Mother Earth than we are. And it's so wonderful that you're coordinating all of this. And it's wonderful to know that there are these great organizations over there that are working that, that you can support. Because like you said, you couldn't be one person to go over there and save the animals in India if there wasn't great support groups or great people working to help the animals already that you could support and help them.
You have to work in partnership with them. So India has a tradition that goes back thousands of years of protecting life and animal shelters. So it actually wasn't completely new. It's just that they didn't have the standards in place for good care.
Yeah. Hmm.
And there's different religions that respect life and don't do any killing, but they don't really like pets so much. So they don't have that aspect in their lives.
Now, is that changing at all, do you think?
Well, middle-class Indians are getting pets,
yeah,
but it's really a race to have them not repeat the same mistakes that we've had, and they don't know how to take care of them. And they I hate to say it, but they don't want to spend any money on them. So they're just like, oh, well, we'll just, we don't, you know. No, not everybody. There's great, great animal lovers there, but they're in the minority. And it's the wonderful animal lovers and animal activists that we want to support because they're there in the minority and they can and their lives are pretty difficult. You know, what would our lives be like if we went out every morning and found animals run over and, you know, suffering? We got a wheelchair to one of the dogs because a lot of animals get hit by a car, so their hind legs are paralyzed. So one of the stories we have on the website is how we got a wheelchair to a dog. And this is a place where a lot of people don't have wheelchairs. So that was a new development and, you know,
that's amazing.
A great story.
So just so that we understand, I mean, let's talk a little bit about what kind of animals there are in India to help. Now, we've talked about that there's the native breed of dog that's very common around, and that dog is in turn indiscriminately breeding with some other breeds of dogs. What are they brought in from out of the country?
Yeah, if you see the websites that are cropping up in India and also in China, you know, for the pet business, so they'll advertise imported pets. Now India has a great pride of native goods and, you know, not wanting to follow the West because, you know, they were under the British for all those years. So we try to have them have pride in the native Indian dogs. So we have a link, you know, adopt a native Indian street dog and find out how great those will be.
Okay. So we do have quite a large canine dog population. You said there are some cats, but not nearly as many cats as there are dogs.
No, there's some areas in India that no cats.
And you mentioned the birds, parrots, and especially like the fortune-telling ones that are carried around in boxes to pull fortune-telling cards. Do Indians on a large basis, do they keep birds as pets like we do here in this country in cages in the house, or is that not really done either?
There was a tradition of doing that, and, you know, in the courts, and people would have expensive parrots and all the same parrots that we might be familiar with here. But it's actually illegal to keep a bird in a cage. So it's a very advanced law.
But it's okay to put them in a box?
Well, you know, that's also against the law. So when these parrots are liberated, India's, you know, very warm climate. And the shelter, one of the shelters is an eco-sanctuary. So if their wings can grow back, we can just release them. And they can live happily as birds are intended to live.
Now, one of the sanctuaries, you mentioned monkeys. So what part do monkeys play? Are they as pets, or are they just wild and in this everywhere like dogs, or what's the deal with monkeys?
Monkeys are, well, they call it the monkey menace. And on the one hand, they're revered because they have the monkey god Hanuman. And he saved, you know, it's the story called the Ramayana. He's one of the hero figures of India. The superhuman monkey, part human, part monkey. On the other hand, the monkeys are all, and so they're tolerated around the temples, but in the cities, they're can create havoc, like, you know, monkeys do.
Well, monkeys are very smart, mm-hmm. not to mention they can do a lot, you know, they have little hands. And mm-hmm.
So, you know, they'll have problem monkeys, then they'll have some people keeping them as pets. So there's the beggars who capture the monkeys when they're very babies and use them for begging. And if you're there's another subject, if you're a tourist in India, do not support the people who use animals for making money, because they don't come to a good end. So after the monkey grows up, it's a baby, then it, you know, it's just, you know, has a collar on, it's a prisoner, and it doesn't learn how to be a monkey.
You know, so, and that sometimes is a hard concept for people to grasp. I know mm-hmm. relating it to here, I'm always telling people, do not buy puppies at pet stores, because mm-hmm. they all come from puppy mills. And you want to save that puppy at the pet store. But every time you buy that, it leaves another opening for them to bring another puppy in from the puppy mill, and it keeps it going. So, and until we stop buying them, mm-hmm. we're not going to shut down the puppy mill industry. So it's kind of the same
right.
thing.
Right.
If you support the beggars that have mm-hmm. the animals, mm-hmm. then you're just perpetuating the bigger picture.
Well, there,
is that what you're
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, there's this one industry outside the Taj Mahal, which was the dancing bears.
Mm.
And what are dancing bears? Bears aren't, it's not natural for them to dance. And they'd also be part, this is a whole tribe that had this in their culture for hundreds of years. This is how they made a living. So you can't just take the bears away and say, you know, you're out of luck. So this one animal group retrained them for other livelihood. I mean, the same way we can do so with, you know, the timber industry. You can't keep cutting those trees. We have to.
You have to learn how to do something else to make a living.
I mean,
hey,
they used to have elevator operators. What happened to them when the automatic elevators came in?
Well, that's
so
true.
So just because there's a tradition doesn't mean
it has to continue.
It should continue.
Or that serves
and there's also snake charmers. Everything that we, you know, I'm sorry to say, everything we do are picturesque. It's the story behind it isn't always the best.
But as a tourist, if we go to the country and support these animal-related money-making situations, we are part of the problem.
Yes, so don't support that. And there's many other groups to help, you know, you can give your money to.
Excellent. Good to know.
So,
now, you also mentioned in the shelter, you said lots of cows.
Well, the cow situation, that's a long story. And in Hindu religion, the cow is sacred.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, yeah.
But Indians drink a lot of milk. So 400 million vegetarians in India.
Wow.
But there's all that milk that's being drunk. So what happens to all those bulls? And what happens to all the cows once they don't give milk anymore?
Mm.
So in this country, we have it all, again, behind closed doors or regulated. So there's a legal slaughter industry in this country. In India, it's illegal, at least in Hindu India, in some of the states. So the slaughter that does go on is illegal, backdoor, and not very well done. Or they march them forcibly to states where it is legal. So that's the famous illegal cow march.
Transport.
So the animal transport is not done very well. But I want to get back to from 2004 to 2005.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Let's go back there.
Because I like telling the story.
Oh, absolutely. We like hearing it. Yeah.
Okay, so anyhow, so after the tsunami and all of the work that increased from that, we just kept telling the story, what was going on in India. And, you know, we had a bigger email list. And if you're a friend of mine listening, you remember I might have sent you an unsolicited email, which I don't do anymore. But back then, I would just do the email reports. Actually, Comcast once shut me down for spamming. I sent like 600 emails in one day. And, you know, I just would sit there. That was before the automated email programs and, you know, just do it myself. But anyhow, this went on, and I, in 2005, October, we had two hurricanes in this country, Hurricane Katrina, and then there was another hurricane right afterwards, which no one really remembers. Do you remember that?
That's the one that came in through Texas, wasn't it?
I think it also had a K name. Everyone's kind of forgotten about that one.
Yeah. No, there was one right behind. Yeah, okay. I do remember that. Yeah.
Okay.
But I think it hit a little bit over and got Texas.
Yeah.
But I don't remember all the details, but I do remember it.
So the hurricane that came afterwards happened at the same time as a cyclone hit India. Now,
cyclone?
Hurricane, cyclone, and typhoon, I think, is the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Typhoon is in, Japan and eastern the Pacific. That's typhoons. Hurricanes are on our Atlantic Ocean.
But they're sort of the same thing.
I think they are.
Scotty's nodding his
thing,
head in
the
there,
same
so
thing, yeah.
Apparently he knows.
And cyclone, which always sort of confused me, it sort of sounded like a tornado or something, but a cyclone is also a hurricane. So a cyclone on the east coast of India, where our animal groups are located, also is prone to cyclones the same way we are hurricanes here. So at the same time as we were still, Hurricane Katrina and all that disaster came and totally wiped out the shelter, everything.
Massive flooding.
Massive flooding, and of course all the disaster relief that we do. It's not just the shelter itself, but these people go out and do rescue farm animals, pets, just everything that we've done with, in the hurricanes here, all our disaster relief. So anyhow, they were getting me the news that the shelter's been wiped out, and, it's just a very difficult situation. I said to them, well, forget it. We're having Hurricane Katrina here. No one's going to be interested like they were for the tsunami. I don't know what kind of help we can get to you. But we did get help from Australia and other areas. So, compassionate people really came through. And flooding in India is pretty common fact.
Yeah.
Where, you think of Bangladesh, all these people being displaced all the time. So when we have 50 people dead, they have, thousands. And so it's just not set up very well. So after the cyclone and we got the help, they rebuilt the shelter better than before. And they have supplies that are available.
Super.
A new wall around the shelter also that we saw that was constructed, I think, 8 or 10 feet tall. To keep out any water from coming in again, because certainly cyclones will come again to southern India.
So rescue groups worldwide, like with WSPA and Humane Society International, they all pitched in to help.
Excellent.
But I had to be the liaison to let them know what was going on. Yeah. So, with your English skills, you can really help a lot of these different groups.
Yeah, but it sounds like you're filling a very important role as the liaison and coordinating all of this and coordinating the help to support these animal welfare groups and the people in India that are trying to help
the animals. Well, we were busy, and I always call India an equal disaster opportunity employer. Not that I make any money from it, but, in other words, there's enough work. Everybody.
So then, where does that take us now? We're in 2005 or so now, or have we
that was
to,
the end of 2005 and 2006
we both went
right.
Oh, so you went back again.
We went back in 2006, and this was Mark's first trip, and the Dalai Lama was giving a initiation in that part of India. There were all these Buddhist sites that were just discovered recently, because India had a lot of Buddhism, but it died back, and there hasn't been that much interest since.
Especially southern India had many archaeological Buddhist sites, and not well known, not on the main tourist track, but we had a great opportunity to go to southern India, see the Dalai Lama, and also visit the shelters that Eileen had been working with for these number of years.
Yeah, and then so I was in touch with the Tibetan community, and I was saying, "Oh, is anyone going to see the Dalai Lama in Andhra Pradesh?" And they were saying, I was asking them, and they were saying, "Where is Andhra Pradesh?" So that was a new experience for to bring Buddhism to that area. And that was 2006.
And we met the group Tibetan Volunteers for Animals.
Oh, yeah. So Tibetan Volunteers for Animals, which I have in that pile of papers there, they are a group that goes to the Tibetan areas. That's the big stack with the staple on it.
Ah, okay. There we go.
Yeah. So they're a group of young Tibetans growing up in India, because a lot of them are born in India now. Maybe their parents were refugees. And so they're really getting with it for the whole animal rescue vegetarian thing.
And it looks like they're doing the ABC Animal Birth Control Project in Tibet.
And so we, Help Animals India, just funded a great majority of this new project, where they went to the Tibetan settlements. And the Tibetan settlements are, just to give an analogy, sort of like our Native Americans here, areas here, where they have their own government and they're kind of separate.
This is neat. You show the pictures of classrooms here and many people looking like they're dressed in like monk type garb and sitting, you know, cross-legged on the floor,
right,
and learning about compassion towards animals.
Right.
This is, looks like the Tibetan area. You said they did 879 dogs and 3 cats.
Yeah, we just did that this summer, and it was a great achievement, because a lot of these dogs were pets also, and people love their animals, those who have them, but there's no veterinarian that they can take them to for spay, neuter, or even any care. So we funded that along with...
It looks like you're funding veterinary care for injured and sick, and... There's animals here with tumors and infections. Mm-hmm. It looks like that are being dealt with, and they're learning how to do surgery to save these animals. And...
Well, we brought in the teams of the veterinarians.
Wow.
To do the surgery, but you know, for the pets, you know, there's nothing sadder than
now
some...
Here's a picture of that net you're talking about for the humane capturing of the dogs. Isn't that interesting?
So education is quite a big component of bringing in the care for the animals.
So that's what a lot of you do. And sometimes you bring in teams like veterinarians and educators,
right,
to teach them how then...
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. It's kind of like that, what is the religious story, you know, give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, but teach him how to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. So you're going in there and teaching them how to be compassionate and care for their own animals.
Practical compassion.
Practical compassion. Right. That's a great way to describe it.
Yes.
Well, those are the groups that we fund, and there's also other groups that are going in and teaching better veterinarian techniques.
Oh, I see. So, look, now here you're buying vehicles for the groups for the ABC, the Animal Birth Control Project.
Well, the vehicles, they are very much needed, because when you think of... how we might do animal rescue here, if we're helping one or two pets, or we just want to take our pet to the vet. Most Indians people don't have personal cars, just the, you know, rich people do. The groups, they don't have vehicles, and that's one of the projects Help Animals India is doing right now. We're trying to bring 3 vehicles to 3 different groups, and it costs $10,000 each. So we're fundraising for that. Because if you look at the other stack of pictures, the Indian groups have very inventive ways
of
getting around, and so
here's a half a bicycle attached to like a cage type apparatus with a tent on top.
Right, right.
So we've been funding, before we could afford the actual vehicles, we've been funding bike ambulances, and they're either actual bicycles, or they're motorbikes with a cage on top.
Oh, now here we go. Here's a motorbike with a cage on top.
And it's very picturesque, but to do a lot of dogs, it's not easy. And then there's one man there who that's called an auto rickshaw.
An auto rickshaw.
And anyone who's been to India or seen it on, you know.
The Amazing Race and stuff.
Amazing
Race,
yeah. Those are very small vehicles. And that man, that's one of the sanctuaries we support. He's just this phenomenal dog catcher, and he's actually
got a whole pile of dogs on his lap. Now, and are these native dogs?
Well,
type dogs?
Pretty much, mm-hmm. You know, or it might be a mixture. I wouldn't say the pure native dog is actually at risk now.
Oh, and there's a whole bunch of them
in India.
Almost like a little. This is one of those auto rickshaws.
No, that's actually
it looks
just
like
a little
baby carriage.
A baby
sort of
carriage.
Thing.
So that man who's catching it in the auto rickshaw, he's very he's holding them to reassure them. Because when we do the high volume ABC animal birth control, it is rough on them. You know, they're thrown into a cage.
Now,
are
these photographs off your website?
Not on the website right now, but I can make them available.
Some are on Facebook.
Okay, so
some photos. Right.
www.facebook.com/helpanimalsindia.
You know
what?
I'm going to upload them to the Facebook page.
Fabulous. Okay, so you'll
later
put
today.
So, folks, these photographs that we're talking about, Eileen's going to upload them to her Facebook page so you can see all these creative ways of collecting these mm-hmm. dogs and animals.
And the main thing is about the bike, the big ambulance, the one that's attached to the bicycle.
Yeah.
You can see the sign. That's JBF, which stands for Just Be Friendly. And that shows, you know, animals matter too. You know, that show have compassion for animals. So, you know, education.
Yeah, the big sign, please help us to help the suffering animals. Now, it's interesting that this is actually in India.
Yeah.
But the sign is in English, like you said.
Well, that's one of the main languages of India is English. English and Hindi, and then they have many different dialects in the different provinces.
So and there's only one of these vehicles here that has, now is this like a Hindi language on this vehicle or?
That's Hindi, which is actually close to Sanskrit. So it might look a little bit like Sanskrit. The other dialects are Telugu and Tamil and Canada and so,
there's a blue cross on that sign that
yes.
indicates a medical vehicle.
Well, the blue cross is for animals.
Cool.
Yeah. So the Indian people actually expect that the groups will help the animals. However, they're very they don't support it very much.
Mm.
So that's why we have to encourage them to volunteer more. They're not very hands on.
But it's just so
but getting more
encouraging, though, to see the work that you're doing, how much you've been able to accomplish by putting this Help Animals India organization together and then to collect the resources and the funds to then support these other groups and take the teams over to educate. You guys are doing phenomenal work. This is really exciting. Wow.
Thank you. I hope you come and see it. And,
yeah.
You know, this is just a small portion of what goes on in India with, as I said, 1.2 billion people. And the younger people growing up are really taking an interest. And so they need our support so
that's
much.
That's wonderful.
So since the last 10 years that I've been involved, you see all these growth of all these different organizations.
You know, I'm wondering, Mark, we kind of left you guys that you had gone back in 2006.
Right, 2006.
And it was your first trip over there.
Yes, my first trip.
Was it shocking to you?
It's shocking. It's a new country. There's culture shock. And we went in January of 2006. Southern India is very warm in January for India. I remember seeing a temperature gauge about 99 degrees one day.
Yikes.
So we were feeling the heat. I was just getting my traveling legs for being there and going around. And there were so many new experiences to see. And we came and landed in Chennai, which is formerly called Madras. And then we were hosted by a man named Chinni Krishna. In Chennai, and then we moved up north to Vishakhapatnam and the VSPCA shelter, and had a tour of the VSPCA shelter. I was quite impressed by the spay-neuter operation that was going on there with the dogs, and there were many places for the dogs to stay.
Sea turtle program?
Right, sea turtles, and but the dogs had a space and a protected area to recuperate after they'd had the surgery, so that they could feel that they were not thrown back on the street right away. I mean, what was it, 3 days of
it varies
recuperation time?
Yeah, how many days they get to recuperate. And there's that particular shelter has 220 resident dogs.
Wow.
And 1,000 total animals.
Wow, that's a lot of animals.
So, right, we're just landing in India, and we're adapting to the heat, and then we're visiting animal shelters and seeing multitude of animals and just the incredible work that they're doing over there. And we're seeing what other kinds of needs there are for infrastructure and for, like we talked about, the bicycle ambulance was the way that they collected the dogs for the spay-neuter. So it's a great jump forward to have a regular vehicle that they can cover a lot of area. And
so this one man, Pradeep Nath, who used to collect by bicycle ambulance, he said he would be riding the bicycle and he'd feel the dogs clawing his back.
Oh, my.
So it's all up close and personal there. And
now that it was in 2006. Have you been back since that time?
The next year, 2007, I went back, and we had a meeting for Animals for Asia. Now, Animals for Asia, it's a whole world of people who help in Asia, and they've had meetings in Singapore and Hong Kong. And I think the next one's going to be in Jakarta. So this was their first one in India, and it was in Chennai, also previously called Madras, where all my activist people were and one of the shelters we were helping. So I went to that meeting, and then you meet the whole bunch of people who are helping animals in India, and it's, like, really scary because they all want your help. And
like
it's
that.
Easy to become popular.
Now, do all these people speak English, so it's relatively easy to communicate with them?
Pretty much. Sometimes the English is broken. Some of the people we have to hire for the shelters, their English is very poor. The people that you call up, like, you know, when you're talking to American Express or, you know, and you get somebody from India, and their English is, you know, pretty good, but maybe not great. Those people you're talking to, they get about $1,000 a month. And the people we can hire for the animal shelters, we can only afford about $100 a month.
Wow.
So their English is not so good. But there's many educated people now, and you know, who speak very good English. And you know, we all hold it to a standard of English, but they know so many dialects. They might know about 5 different dialects.
Yeah. All right. Well, now we are going to hold at this point for a moment. We have got to take care of our advertisers and sponsors for this hour. Please pay attention and support them, because without them, there's no us. Then we'll come back and do a quick current events. If we're left with any time, we'll do a little more animals in India until we break at the top of the hour. And then we've got another hour to go. And remember, we've got a new live show starting at the After Animal World, A Psychic Speaks, and it's all call-in, read for humans and animals. So stay tuned for that, and Animal World continues with current events is next, straight ahead, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and much more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend, and Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now mark your calendar, because Animal World will be broadcasting live from the Jones & Company annual blowout sale, and that's Sunday, October 2nd. So mark your calendars, come on up and join us. You'll get great deals on everything in the store and all kinds of free stuff and special giveaways. And, of course, we'll be there, and I'll be take your questions on the spot, and you can ask your animal behavior training and healing questions if you like. So we'll hope to see you there October 2nd at Jones & Company. Animal World will be live. You can check them out. They're on State Avenue in Marysville. Phone number is 360-658-7817 at Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, Satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Does your dog experience bad breath or gas? Does your cat spit up hairballs? Try Optigest. Optigest is a natural formula of digestive enzymes and the prebiotic FOS. Even pets with a healthy diet can experience digestive upset due to diet change, separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest works fast and has no inactive ingredients. Optigest supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Ask for Optigest at your natural pet store today.
Karma specialist and founder of Metaphysical Mothering, Robin Alexis, is nurturing, powerful, and phenomenally gifted. Her books and personal one-on-one phone sessions can change your life forever. And now she's channeled the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. Learn about this membership and how to get exclusive contact with her at her website, robinalexis.com. Robin invites you to register for her weekly newsletter and share your comments and experiences in her blog and forum with her and other community members at robinalexis.com. Robin uses her ability as a medical intuitive and a metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She is a medium and she can talk to your spirit guides and angels, and she's adept at doing all this over the phone and through the website at robinalexis.com. You can call her for a private session at 360-457-2993, and you can email her at robin@robinalexis.com.
For the people, by the people. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all. Martha Norwalk. Want to say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We do it every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We'll get back to the animals in India shortly, but right now it's time for current events. You did it! Woohoo! They're back! Wow! How cool is that?
It's been a while.
It's been a while! Woo! All right, speaking of entertainment, whoa, I'm just totally... Gary, you are fabulous.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. The Jingle Cats are back. Yay!
Happy cats.
Yeah, and speaking of entertainment, what do we got on the Animal World current events? If you want all the details and everything that I can't tell you about on the air, go to www.marthanorwalk.com, marthanorwalk.com, and click on current events on the left side of the homepage. Everything will come up. But let's see. New on the list, we've got Adopt a Less Adoptable Pet Week starts yesterday. This September 17th through the 25th is Adopt a Less Adoptable Pet Week. Now, this is sponsored by PetFinder.com, and there's a lot more information on the PetFinder website. But actually, what they're trying to do is purport the idea of adopting an animal that most people would look over, like an older one or maybe one with a physical issue or that sort of thing. So if you're interested in helping support this promotion, Adopt a Less Adoptable Pet Week, go to www.petfinder.com/less-adoptable-pet-week. And of course, on our current events page on the website, you'll find a link to that page. All right, now here's another new one. South County Cats Cattoberfest will be, of course, a celebration of cats, and it's going to be Saturday, October 1st. From 1 to 4 p.m., it's at the Maple Valley Community Center. It's free admission, and they've got food, a raffle, crafts, silent auction, and free plush kitties for kids while they last. They'd like you, if you can, bring a donation of canned cat foods. For more information, www.southcountycats.petfinder.org. Now, let's see. Remember, you're running out of time to see the Breeze Guards. which are the fabulous powder-coated wire mesh screens that go in your car windows, which make it so much safer to take your animal friends with you during warmer weather, because you can keep the windows down, and if you've got breeze guards on either side of the car, the interior temperature of the car stays within a couple, 3 degrees of the